96.3 WHUR and HUR Voices, Sirius XM, Channel 141. This is the Insight segment. Your questions or comments, toll free at 855-288-4876. Now, Insight.
Welcome back to the Daily Drum on WHUR and Sirius XM, Channel 141. This is the Insight segment. I'm Harold Fisher.
When I get that feeling, I want sexual healing, sexual healing. Oh, baby, makes me feel so fine.
We are all familiar with that phrase, sexual healing. You know, Marvin Gaye sang it, but in this modern age, is it time for women to really focus on it? Focus on themselves and what they want from intimacy and sexual wellness. Well, my guest tonight says, absolutely. Dr. Kenesha Hall is a physician and author of the book, Sex After. And tonight, we want to hear from women. We want to hear your thoughts about intimacy and sex and how your thoughts have changed over the course of your life. Are you satisfied? Are you happy with the way things are in your intimate and sexual lives? Well, lines are open, 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. You can certainly tweet us using the hashtag WHURFM. Now, we want to warn you ahead of time that this is a candid conversation. It may not be appropriate for young ears. It may not be appropriate for mine, but either way, Dr. Hall, thanks for joining me. I appreciate it.
Thank you so much for having me, and I do believe your ears are very much so appropriate. And can I just begin by saying
sure.
that I truly hope Howard University Bisons beat them down like they stole something.
Mm-hmm.
Those little Morgan State, I don't even know what
it's the Bears, the Morgan Bears. State Bears. Yeah, well, we beat Savannah State last week. So
I do believe we won last week as well.
Yeah, well, we're going to have a conversation about that as well.
Hate you.
Mm-hmm, there you go.
Okay.
So she's here for homecoming, as you can obviously, you can hear. Let's talk a little sex, though. Sex after. Mm-hmm. Sex after what? Why that title?
The title is somewhat titillating and sensationalized to get your attention. But the book more so is about milestones that we face as women throughout our lives. Sex after your first time, sex after starting your career, sex after marriage, and sex after having children, sex after failing marriages and failures in your life, sex after illness, sex after the passing of someone important to you. Everything that we go through is still a part of who we are, just like sex is a part of who we are.
Mm. Is it different when you are going through these, you know, these milestones? I mean, certainly there are some of those milestones that are expected. Death of a loved one, children and the like. But what do these things have to do with sex?
Everything. We, as women, we tend to focus on taking care of everyone with the exceptions of ourselves.
Mm-hmm.
So we can use anything as an excuse to neglect our sexual self. And yes, there are expected, you know, slowings in our sexual activity, but at no point during your life should you forget your identity and who you are, and your sexuality is a part of who you are. When I'm talking about sexuality, I'm not talking just about intercourse. I'm talking about the essence of who we are as women.
Explain that.
Our sexuality, we as human beings are made of more than just muscles and bones and cells. We have to acknowledge our spirit cells. And a part of that essence of being woman, our femininity,
mm-hmm.
that's your sexuality. And in order for you to be completely healthy, which is more so my mission statement in life, is comprehensive health. You could have the best blood pressure. You can run a mile. But if you don't feel well, and if you are depressed, if you are down, you're not healthy. So all of this is a part of health. All of this is a part of well-being. Your sexuality, your sexual well-being is a part of your comprehensive, your sense of wholeness and your sense of health.
202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. We're talking about women, intimacy, and sexual wellness tonight. How's your sex life? Are you happy with where you are? And how has have your thoughts about sex changed over the course of your life? Okay, so here's the thing. For women, is sexual intimacy still a taboo issue, particularly for Black women? Are they talking about it, you know, with their friends? Are they really kind of thinking about it, or is it kind of like on the back burner?
Well, first of all, let's get our terms together.
Okay.
Intimacy versus intercourse.
Right.
Intimacy is the communication, the relationship. Intercourse is just the vehicle. Intercourse is more taboo for women than for men because we are always on that journey for intimacy, whether it's via intercourse or exchanges and relationships. So intimacy has never necessarily been taboo for women because that's what we're looking for. It's the intercourse that I feel we have not mastered as far as emboldening ourselves and empowering ourselves to be okay with seeking out intercourse.
Why is that? Is it that mothers were not having the talk with their daughters, or when their daughters are in their teen years, or as, you know, an impressionable young women? They only talk about don't get pregnant, you know, wrap it up, but they don't talk about what sex means, what to expect.
Exactly. And I feel like, I mean, there's so many reasons why, but there's a double standard. Boys will be boys and women are meant to, you know, be prim and proper and no, don't have, you know, sex. We talk about sex more for procreation and, mm-hmm. you know, carrying life or whatnot, but we don't explore the pleasures of intercourse and sexual entanglements because it's just not acceptable. We are told to be prim and proper virgins, saving ourselves for marriage. And there's not anything wrong with that, but there has not been a comfortable space to explore our rights. There is a Bill of Rights when it comes to sex.
Bill of Rights.
It's very simple.
No, that's not a Thomas Jefferson
kind of there's a Bill
constitutional
of Rights when it comes to sex. And it's really, really simple. Only two things, permission and pleasure. Nothing can happen without first permission. Give yourself permission to engage, and your partner should also have permission. And the second is pleasure. You have an inalienable right to be pleased, whether it is you and you alone or you and your partner. It's that simple. But there's never been a comfortable space to even discuss that. We talk about mothers talk to their little girls about being wives and being mothers and their duties of womanhood and taking care of their family and making a house a home. These are conversations that mothers are having with their children. I did not have a conversation with my mother about intimacy, intercourse, and what to expect from sexual experience until after I was a mother myself.
Mm-hmm.
So there has to be environment that's created for younger women to speak with older women, because there's an exchange that needs to take place, because the older women that I talk to who have read my book and who are familiar with my platform, I have information to share with them just like they have information to share with me.
202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. We're talking about intimacy and sexual wellness tonight. If you're a woman, I'd like to hear from you. What do you think about your sex life? Are you happy with it? Has there been a change in the way you view sex and getting what you want from it? Again, 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. Cheryl calling from D.C. Thanks for calling, Cheryl. What's on your mind?
Yes, what I wanted to say is that I was listening to the doctor, and I thank you so much for everything that you said about the conversations a lot of times not being had. And for me, it was a lot of sexual abuse very early in my life. So by the time I started to choose my own partner, I was so broken that it was about a lot of healing so that I wouldn't be afraid to get undressed and without the lights, you know, with the lights on. Or if he wanted to surprise me in the shower, just coming in, all of that kind of triggered what happened as a child. So in the last 14 years, I've been abstinent. It's not for lack of being able to find someone. It's more been about the healing and the reparation of the what happened. And in that, I guess the last 3 years out of the years I've been abstinent, it's been a lot of feeling myself. It's not about the masturbation stuff, because that's not in the picture, but really being comfortable with the feelings that I get when I see an attractive man, or maybe there was something, some music I heard on the radio, on your station, you know, where it made me feel very sexy, or maybe I had on some stockings or something mm-hmm. that made me feel very sexy. So sometimes it's about how early was your first sexual experience without your permission. And I heard you talk about with permission,
yeah.
but without your permission. So sometimes in that, with me being a sexual being, a person who is very interested in having a partner, sometimes it's that healing and that comfort with your own body. Sometimes there's physical scars.
Well, Cheryl, I want to have Dr. Hall react to what you were suggesting. She said a lot, Dr. Hall. Go right ahead.
Yes, she has. And I just want to, first of all, thank you for sharing that. And you are a part of what I'm talking about as far as creating that space where women need to feel comfortable to talk about, just as I want to focus on the beauty of being a woman, we have to focus on our scars as well. And it sounds to me like she is doing the work, because she's talking about healing, and she has to focus on herself right now. Now is a time for her to be selfish. Now is a time for her to heal that beautiful flower that she is before she could even consider sharing herself with someone else. And it sounds like, and that's what it sounds like she's doing. It sounds like she's doing her work. Mm-hmm. And I encourage her to continue to speak and continue to know that I hear you. Mm-hmm. I definitely hear you.
Well, Cheryl, thank you so much for calling. I appreciate you. 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. We're talking about sexual wellness. We're talking about intimacy with Dr. Kenesha Hall. She is a physician and author of the book Sex After. Lines are still open. We're going to be taking, of course, phone calls even after 7:30. So if you have a question, if you have a comment, please, you are most certainly invited to give us a call at 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. By the way, before I take a break, how can people find you online, Dr. Hall?
On all of my social media, I am at Dr. Kenesha, DrKanisha, as well as my website, www.drkanisha.com.
Okay. And, of course, that'll be posted on WHUR.com after the program. If you're on the phone, Michelle calling from D.C., Trina calling from North Carolina, we're going to talk to you after the break. So please don't hang up. You will be able to hear the program. And we will catch up with you in just a few seconds. So stay with us. The Daily Drum will continue on Sirius XM Channel 141. I'm Harold Fisher. Angela Stribling is in for Jeff Brown with the original Quiet Storm on 96.3 WHUR. More of your phone calls in just a bit on 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. We'll be back in just a moment. Welcome back to The Daily Drum on Sirius XM Channel 141. I'm Harold Fisher. Tonight, we're talking about sex. Yes, we are. Is it time for women to really focus on it? Focus on themselves and what they want from intimacy, from sexual wellness? Well, my guest tonight says absolutely, positively yes. Dr. Kenesha Hall is a physician and author of the book Sex After. And we're taking your questions and comments as always. 202-319-7810. 202-319-7810. Certainly, we want to warn you ahead of time that this is a candid conversation. It may not be appropriate for very young ears. Let me go back to the phone lines. Michelle. Michelle calling from D.C. Michelle, thanks for calling. What's on your mind?
Hello. Hi. Hey. I'm calling because I want to know, how do you deal with someone that don't want to tell you how they feel and how they want to be touched and how they want to be handled and make it laugh to? You know, and then you, like, try to read their mind. And then, you know, like, if you don't give them the sexual pleasure that they want, they go out to someone else and they have more than one partner. And then they have you puzzled because they're not interacting, telling you what they want.
So you're talking sexual communication with your partner. That is such a huge, huge thing. And, you know, guys, sometimes guys just don't get it.
You know, I'm like, I'm a woman. Mm-hmm. I can fulfill whatever void that there is.
Okay.
You know, because he never had a problem, and I never had a problem intimacy with him.
Okay.
But, you know, it's just like he just goes in and out phases.
Hmm.
You know, I wanted him to be, like, straightforward, because cheating also is when you go on the internet, mm-hmm, and go on social media and everything.
Well, let me see what Dr. Hall has to say about that. Talk to me about, you know, communicating about sexual intimacy.
Well, sex is a form of communication, but and if you're having a problem communicating in general, sex will not fix it. For couples that I counsel, when they're having intimacy and problems connecting in the bedroom, the first thing we're going to do is take sex off the table.
What do you mean? How do you take it off the table?
Believe it or
put
not,
put it in the kitchen, put it in the dining room.
Sex off the table allows you to really focus on that communication and that interaction with that person. There's an exercise called pleasure mapping. And you start with a blank canvas of just general female or male body, and you can touch your partner. You cannot engage in intercourse, but touch your partner to find out what caress arouses them. And
well, I've done that, mm-hmm, and I found what it takes. It's like massaging him, touching him, as you know, giving him the feel of me.
But you know what, if I may, Michelle, because it sounds to me like there are some other underlying issues with
the
him.
The main underlying issue is it's because of the misunderstanding and the long terms of the separation between us.
Mm-hmm.
And then when we come together again, it's always a second and third party is messing it up because it's him out there cheating with so many multiple partners.
Hmm.
And I don't want to stay in it no more. I want out of it.
Okay.
But he don't want me out of it. Like, when I go out of it, he'll try to call me B-I-T-C.
Oh, hey, well, let's not do that. But go ahead, Dr. Hall.
Well,
go ahead, finish your point.
First of all, as I was speaking earlier about permission and pleasure, you have the right to set the terms for your relationship. You have already stated what you will and will not deal with. Fidelity is important to you. So these are things that you have to protect yourself. She has a right to feel safe. She has a right to feel secure in her relationship. And if these are not feelings that she is getting from this relationship, then maybe it is time to consider parting.
Yeah, away. not to mention if he's calling you out of your name, I mean, I think, you know, that's a deal breaker.
Yes.
So, but Michelle, thank you so much for your phone call. I appreciate it. 202-319-7810. 202-319-7810. Trina calling from North Carolina. Trina, thanks for calling. What's on your mind?
Hi. I'm just so happy that someone has come out and finally written something and have been talking about something for women for a change.
Mm-hmm.
Because the past few years, you know, when the older you get and you look for something out there, there is nothing that can really help women. I'm at the place now in my life where I agree totally with you. Women need to learn their own bodies. They need to learn who they are and how their body functions sexually, and not only sexually, but feminine. We are very feminine women. when we grew up, we were told, I'm sorry, when we grew up, we were told, you know, you're being frisky or, you know, sit down somewhere, you're trying to be too hot.
Mm-hmm.
But in reality, we were being feminine. And so now it's like this confusion with men and women where the men are more feminine than the women are.
Hmm.
And I'm like, when we were growing up, we were told we couldn't act like that, you know, because that's not right. So, you know, I'm 41 now, and I'm just so thankful that someone has come out and started talking about this and discussing this, because we should not be ashamed of who we are as a feminine woman. So I totally agree with you, and I just want to say thank you for that.
Well, thank you so much, Trina. I appreciate it. And she's over 40. She's just on the other side of 40. What happens with women, Dr. Hall, when you start, when they get to that, you know, the late 30s, you know, 40 something, is there some kind of emotional transition, or is it just kind of station in life that for some it makes them focus more on sexuality and what they want?
The answer to your question is yes, 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 and yes. So at that awakening, your late 30s, your 40s, that's when women truly find themselves. They find themselves in so many facets of life. Usually this is when you should feel secure in your career and where you're going, you know, employment-wise. This is when the family should be more so stabilized. Most people do not have young children in the household if they're you know, up in age and more independent. And three, there is an emotional balance and imbalance, you know, that's going on chemically in a woman, as they may be perimenopausal or whatnot, where they can freely be open to having sex without worries of fertility.
Mm-hmm.
And there are so many other aspects when it's just an awakening for most women when we realize what's important.
Mm-hmm.
And by then we should know that we are important. We are important to our family. We are important to our jobs. We are important to our community. We feel established. We have our sense of worth. It's very hard for younger ladies and adolescents and teenagers to really have a self-sense of worth. And once you have that, you feel like you deserve something in return. And hopefully part of that is also your right to be pleased.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel also that's my audience where I get better feedback, where I get more feedback as to how can I really embrace my sexuality. They're open to it. I can't explain. I feel like all the things I just mentioned are part of that. But definitely at that point, they're open to exploring empowering their sexuality.
Trina, thank you so much for your phone call. I appreciate it. Now, 202-319-7810. 202-319-7810. We're talking about women, intimacy, sexual wellness. Is it time for them to focus on getting what they want? Now, you just mentioned something I think is really important. You talked about jobs and children and all of these other kinds of things. Women are so busy these days, you know, whether they're married, whether they're single or what have you. How do you consciously make time for, you know, for sexual intimacy? I mean, it's kind of like, okay, let me see. I got soccer practice, I got soccer mom stuff here. I got to go to the grocery store. I got, you know, Bible study this week. Oh, okay. Here's 15 minutes. Do I jot down on my calendar? Let's get it in here.
You can, if that's what it takes. There was this very handsome, smart man.
Thank you.
Who told me in all of his infinite wisdom, you make time for what you want to make time for. And it goes back to pleasure. A lot of women don't feel the need to make time for something if they're not getting anything out of it.
Mm-hmm.
So when you get to that awakening and you're ready to focus on pleasure and what you have a right to, you will make time for what feels good. you will make time for what you want to make time for. If it means scheduling that 15-minute rendezvous in the garage with your husband, that's on you. If it means rearranging some things and reprioritizing some things. So you can't always put yourself first as a mother, as a career woman, as, you know, multifaceted women that we are, but you can prioritize your wellness, your health, and your pleasure every once in a while.
Are men listening if women are talking about this?
Yes, because they have always been comfortable in their space of receiving pleasure. And I do believe that men understand that if she's receiving pleasure on that level as well, that is going to get them even more pleasure because she will be more likely to engage in that wonderful, you know, horizontal mumbo.
But with that said, and I've had, you know, conversations with guys, you know, especially guys who've been, you know, married for a while. And, you know, they, to speak euphemistically, you know, they've been eating the same oatmeal every, you know, for years. And then all of a sudden, you know, their wives, they want to put some strawberries in the oatmeal. Mm-hmm. Or they, you know, they want to put a little, you know, a little honey drizzle in the oatmeal. Mm-hmm. Or maybe they even decide, hey, no oatmeal this morning. How about bacon and eggs?
Oh, wow.
But, you know, the thing about that is, How should men take that if oatmeal for years and then all of a sudden they're trying to switch it up and they're like, okay, wait a minute, you've been talking to Dr. Hall, you know, have you
more than likely,
right? Or you know, or you've been talking to that wild girlfriend, the one that, you know, that I don't like too much, you know, how should men or how should women prepare their men, you know, for, you know, swinging from the chandeliers when they've been using candles all these years?
Conversation. You cannot lose sight of all of this. Communicating to your partner what you desire, what you want to change, what you want to spice up, what you want to add to the oatmeal is very important. But I think my sisters know how to sell some sexual creativity to a man.
But you don't want to scare the guys. I mean, you know, I'm serious because, you know, guys have, you know, they have egos and all of this stuff. And you know, there's some guys out there, they don't even put brown sugar or butter on their oatmeal. They just like it plain old Plano. You know, and let me, you know, my mother said, you know, quoting my mother, the 11th commandment is thou shalt not bore me. And so...
Exactly. So, and that's important. Yeah. That's absolutely important. And I don't think that any man would be opposed to switching things up. Of course, the goal is not to scare them. There's a progression. You have to crawl before you walk. Let's just start with, you know, with adding just a little bit of brown sugar to the oatmeal.
Just a little bit.
Just a little bit. Like everything in moderation. And that's the wonderful thing about being in a relationship. Your partner has to be willing to go on a journey. If you're on a journey, you're moving somewhere. You cannot stay stagnant. You cannot stay still.
I need to take a break. When we come back, more of this conversation with Dr. Kenesha Hall. We're talking about sex after women getting what they want when you talk about sexuality. 202-319-7810. 202-319-7810. We'll be back in just a moment.
SiriusXM channel.
Back to the Daily Drum on SiriusXM channel 141. I'm Harold Fisher. We continue our conversation about women and sexual wellness. Are you getting what you want? Are you focusing on your own wants, needs, and desires? 202-319-7810. 202-319-7810. Back to the phone lines. Pastor calling from D.C. Thanks for calling. What's on your mind? Pastor, are you there?
I'd like to make a call.
Oops, give us a call back if you can. Okay, there's something I definitely want to ask you about. This is, some might even suggest this is the anti-sex issue. What is your opinion about celibacy? We've had a lot of discussion on this program about that and, you know, women who just shut it down, you know.
Okay. So, and I actually address celibacy in my book because I need for everyone to understand what celibacy is. Celibacy is a self-imposed sacrifice where you are taking sexual activity. You are choosing not to engage in these things. What celibacy is not is being a victim of circumstance because you don't have access to sexual activity and you don't have a partner and you're declaring yourself celibate. I don't think that celibacy is necessarily sex. Celibacy should be more so about making yourself better. Even though you're choosing not to engage in sexual practices, does not mean that you are neglecting self-identity, which is a part of your sexuality. It just means that you're not engaging in self-pleasure. You're not engaging in intercourse, but this is a perfect opportunity and time to get to know you and actually focus on what it is that you are looking for should you decide to engage someone else or you decide to, end your celibacy. But it should be more so about healing and more so about self-discovery and you being a better person.
Mm-hmm.
And you being a better person could eventually make you a better partner.
One of the things that we've been talking about during the course of this conversation is about, married partners are having, having a, kind of committed relationship. But what about women who don't have, that are not in committed relationships or they're not married and they still want to be, sexual, with partners? Some could argue they want to do what single men have been doing. Do they have to balance issues of guilt, or are we beyond that now in 2017, or is that still an issue for some of them?
I should hope so. I should hope that women can feel confident in their sexuality, just as our male counterparts. You have to be comfortable with you, but even before you declare your sexual independence and you're ready to explore the single life and other engagements, you still have to start with you. Whenever I'm doing my talks or whatnot with women, I give an analogy. I ask them how to get to the local grocery store, and they can tell me because that's some place that they have been. I need for women to feel the same about their climax. We have to take our sexuality back. We have to take ownership of our sexuality again and not depend on a man to deliver us to said promised land. You can get to the promised land and get to where you want to be if you've been there by yourself and with yourself. I am a big proponent of self-pleasure. So let's start there first. Let's focus on self. Let's get the roadmap to Pleasure Island down for ourselves. And then if we need to explore partnerships and other things, we can do that as well. But let's put self first.
You, in conversations that I've had with you, offline, you've talked about some of the, the focus groups where you had a chance to sit down and talk to women. Tell me about those experiences.
So it didn't necessarily start as a focus group. It started as me wanting to make sure that I wasn't off message. It's sort of a check and balance system with me. I have a group of women that I engage regularly. We have dinner, we have wine, and we talk about being women. Being a woman is no shade to my brothers, no shade to men. I love men, but there is something absolutely magical about being a woman. And I want to make sure that my platform addresses that magical, thing that we have and also addresses issues that, present stumbling blocks to us being magical, mystical creatures.
What do they say?
A lot of women in this day and age are tackling career issues and other issues. I have women in different phases of their life as far as relationships, but they're all breaking through glass ceilings on other levels as far as, you know, trying to feel empowered in their careers, where then personal life becomes neglected. And our main conversation of thought is what we were talking about earlier as far as sex after 40, where it doesn't necessarily mean the same thing to my mother's generation as it does to my generation. Women are having children later in life as they pursue their careers and their relationships. We're involving ourselves in these monogamous relationships and marriage later in life because we've decided to, you know, be career women. And what does that mean for that magical, mythical sex after 40? Is now it sex after 50 or sex after 60? And I tell them, first off, sex can be amazing at any age. So we're not going to wait until we're 40. We're not going to wait until we're 50. We're going to have the best sex of our lives right now, wherever you are, no matter what circumstances you find yourself in, whether you're in or out of a relationship, we're going to have it right now.
What's the most difficult thing you believe for women who are trying to come into their own when you're talking about their sexual pleasure and really facing what they want?
The biggest obstacle that I've had, no matter what age of a woman, from talking to young women, middle-aged, older women, is abandoning what others think of you.
What do you mean by that?
We're not talking about what society thinks you should be doing. We're not talking about what your mother thinks you should be doing, what your pastor thinks you should be doing, but abandoning concerns of what others think of you. There is a point and a place in your life where you have to be just a little selfish. You have to focus on what it is that you want. Yes, the children need to be fed. Yes, husbands need to be taken care of. Yes, you have duties on your job. Yes, you have other duties in your life. But at some point, you have to focus on what is it that I need to be the best me to give back to all of these people that I just named. What is it that I need to be pleased? What is it that I need to be happy? And that is a part of your sexual identity. It's amazing to me how people wait until their 40s and 50s to even realize a sexual preference.
Mm.
And that's beyond a sexual identity, but a sexual preference in, as far as how we like to interact with others to receive pleasure. What we expect to receive from others, just like what we're giving to others. We give. Women are givers. We mm-hmm. give to our children. We give to our family. We give to our community. We give. But at what point do we have an expectation to receive? What point do we accept that we have a right to be pleased?
And you know, I think that, you know, at the end of today is Friday, for example, and you've been working hard, you know, all week, and you may hear, you know, a woman say, "Gosh, boy, I could use a nice glass of wine," or, "Ooh wee, I could like to go out, you know, line dancing," or, you know, "I could just really use a great massage." Is sex part of that? You know, on Friday, is that something else that you say, "Hey, I could just really use a big bum diddy bum bum"?
Exactly. It's on my agenda. I hope it's on everyone else's. This is homecoming weekend. There should be more touchdowns scored than at the homecoming game. Like, what do they call it? Is it pre-gaming? I hope there is some pre-gaming going on tonight. Like, no, seriously. No, and all jokes aside. Like, seriously. It should be. Like, I just told this story. I was, as a professional, I work hard. I have mm-hmm. several different hats that I wear. And why in the world am I making money and working and sweating if I cannot buy myself a pair of shoes every now and then?
Mm-hmm.
So why in the world are women going through these struggles? I mean, we keep our weave together. We keep our makeup tight. Like, why are you shaving your legs if you do not plan
to have somebody touch them?
Thank you. Thank you. Exactly. Like, why are you doing this? Why are you doing this? And I'm not saying that should be the only reason
right,
you are doing this,
not,
but
yeah.
Let's prioritize people. Let's prioritize. Like, even if it's not with a partner, if you have your favorite toy or intimate accessories is what I
intimate
like.
Intimate accessory, okay.
Intimate mm-hmm. accessories is what I call them. Like, you, this is a part of your birthright.
Mm-hmm.
You are here as a product of sex. You sit here
That's
right
now. That's
how
you got here, right?
Is it as a testament.
Mm-hmm.
One day, your mother and your father, they had sex.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know how many other times they had it, but I know for certain they had it one time because you're sitting in front of me living and breathing.
There it is.
So why are we acting like sex doesn't exist? Why is it not a priority? We live and breathe for sex.
I think that's a great way to end this conversation. Dr. Kanisha Hall, thank you so much for sharing with
Touchdown.
Me. Touchdown. Listen, your website, again, is?
Dr. Kanisha.
DrKanisha.com. We'll be posting that on WHUR.com. Good to see you. Thank you so much. And happy homecoming. Go Bears.
Ain't you?
Yeah, there you go.
You know. Tyson.
That's the Daily Drum on Sirius XM Channel 141 for this Friday, October 20th. For news director Renee Nash, reporters Taylor Thomas, Troy Johnson, Millette Green, Bramante Bryan, producer Candace Atkins, engineers Craig Fowler and Bobby Adams, I'm Harold Fisher. You can certainly tweet us using the hashtag WHURFM. Now, stay tuned for The Connection with Lorna Newton. Good night and have a wonderful weekend. It's sexual healing.